Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time. Say not for months, then come the harvest.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily gospel broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Dr. Ballou and today's broadcast.
It's harvest time.
Greetings once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege, and the opportunity that's mine to come back again to the radio microphone and share together with you another gospel broadcast. I'm grateful to the Lord for you listening, and I appreciate all the stations that carry the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for His blessings upon us to have this privilege of sharing together with you around the Word of God. And I trust whatever you're doing, you could just kindly lay it aside if possible, pick up your Bible, and let's study the Word of God together. We're looking this week on the broadcast at the subject, but preacher, why missions? But preacher, why missions? And I said on the broadcast yesterday, to those who are natural-minded, those who are carnal-minded, missions looks like quite a foolish thing to do. You see, in missions, we're trying to get people whom we could use in the service of God here to leave home, leave America, and go somewhere else and serve the Lord in another part of the world. And we're trying to raise money here in the church that could be used here at home to send it to support these missionaries as they go around the world. But I want to submit to you with all my heart, missions is not a foolish thing. Missions is a biblical principle that is taught very plainly in the Word of God. And the Lord expects all of us to be involved in carrying out the Great Commission and in the work of missions. And I started on yesterday by looking at this thought, first of all, when I asked the question, but preacher, why missions? Then I say to you, we must be involved in missions because of the command of the Scriptures. The commands of the Scripture requires us to be involved in the work of missions. I do not mean to be cruel when I say this, but anybody can get together and claim to be a church. But a group of people that call themselves a church and ignore the Great Commission is no more than a civic club or a social organization. Any church that is a true New Testament church will be involved in carrying out the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you, and I do not say it with any wrong attitude in my heart, but is your church involved? Are you involved? Then, my friend, why not? Why not? Preacher, why missions? The command of the Scriptures. We must be involved. If we're going to be a New Testament church, we must carry out the order given by the resurrected Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And may I just say this, and I'll deal with this later on, but I'm convinced every church will give a missions report at the judgment seat of Christ. There'll be a time when as pastor and as leader and as people of the church, we'll have to stand before God and give a missions report. What did you do with the Great Commission? So the Great Commission requires us to be involved in the work of missions. And I want to come today in the Word of God, and we're going to look at the Great Commission as it's given in the context of the Scriptures. Now you remember, as I said on yesterday, our Lord, after His resurrection and before His ascension, gives the Great Commission at least four places recorded in the Word of God, and some would say five, and I do not have an argument with that. But in the last chapter of the book of Matthew, our Lord gives a commission by simply saying to them, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. And then the Bible said in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15 and 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And again, I pointed out on yesterday, it's not the unbaptized who is under the judgment of God, but it's the unbeliever. In that verse of scripture, very plainly, he that believeth not shall be damned. And I want to deal today on the broadcast with these two portions, and then we'll look at the other places where the Great Commission is given later on. But I want you to come with me this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. And in Matthew chapter number 28, we're going to break this Great Commission down, look at it, and let God speak to our heart from His Word and see what God will say to us today. And I remind you again, our Lord, in the text of the scripture, he has been crucified. He's been buried for 3 days and three nights. He has resurrected, and he sent word to his disciples to meet him in Galilee. And they go there, and he appears to them, comes to them, and gives them this great commission. The Bible said in verse number 17, what a verse it is, and I don't want to get sidetracked, but the Bible said when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. You know, that's still true in a spiritual sense. Everybody that sees the Lord in his resurrected glory worships him. If they're a believer, they'll worship him. But there will be some who doubt. So we see here, my friend, our resurrected Lord appears to the disciples, and then he gives them this great commission. Notice in the Word of God, in verse number 18, the Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me. The word power here speaks of delegated authority. All authority the Lord Jesus Christ has now been placed because of his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Well, it's hard to quote verse number 8, not back up and get verse number 5. And the following verses, the Bible said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And then in verse number 8, the Bible said, in being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now listen to verse number 9. Wherefore, because of what's just been said, the Lord God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth, and every tongue should confess of things in heaven and things in the earth, and on things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So my friend, as Christ yielded himself to the cross of Christ, died, was buried, rose again, now our Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples that all power is given unto him. And then he delegates that same authority, responsibility to the disciples. Because of this, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Now, in the book of Mark, I quote it again, verse number 15, chapter 16, verse number 15. The word of God said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I want to deal with this thought just briefly this morning. Matthew uses the word teach. Mark uses the word preach. And you say, preacher, is there a difference? And if there's a difference, why is it written in one place that we're to teach and in another place that we're to preach? Well, I'm going to tell you, it takes them both, and there is a difference. You see, teaching enlightens and enlarges the intellect, but preaching lays a demand at the wheel. Preaching requires us to do something about that which we have been taught. So I'm convinced that any true preacher and any true message from the Word of God will have both an element of teaching and preaching. It'll have both an element of preaching and teaching. If you're going to teach, there ought to be some preaching it. If you're going to preach, there ought to be some teaching it. And so God lays it out that we're to go and preach and teach all nations and all the world. Now, as we go, then the Lord Jesus Christ gives the instructions as to what we're to do. But my friend, let me just say again today, this commission is given by the resurrected Lord to the New Testament church, to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I submit to you again, it is not a choice. It's a commandment. It is not an option. It's an obligation. It's not a thing that we can take or leave, or take it or leave it attitude. It's not something we can do if we want to, if we'd like it, but it's a commandment. It's a requirement that we go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature needs a preacher. You cannot preach the gospel to the wrong person. You cannot preach the gospel in the wrong place. But we are required by the Word of God. And preacher, why missions? The Scripture commands it. Now, the Lord willing, on tomorrow's broadcast, I want to come to this great commission as it's given here in the book of Matthew, and I want to ask some questions and answer them in the light of the Word of God from the Word of God. We'll look at such questions as go who, go where, go what, go when, go why, and find the answers to these as given to us in the Word of God. But before I leave the air today, again, I want to ask you the question, are you involved in carrying out the Great Commission? Is your church involved in carrying out the Great Commission? No Christian or no church has the right to claim to be a New Testament Christian or New Testament church if we're not doing so. I pray that God will speak to hearts and God will use a message to the glory of God. Father, honor your word. Bless your people. I'll praise you for what you do, dear Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
All the fields are white. It's harvest time. Say not for months.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for the open door that's mine to come to the radio microphone day after day and share with you the message from the Word of God. I appreciate you listening, and I'm grateful to God for the radio stations that carry the broadcast. Let me encourage you today that you pray for this ministry, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not want to waste my time and your time and radio station time and the broadcast not be a blessing. And then I want to encourage you that you write to us. A letter from you would be a blessing to us. Let us know who you are, where you're at, and if the broadcast is a blessing to you. And then I encourage you, if the Lord would lead you to do so, that you share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time. That's 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. You spell Resaca, R-E-S-A-C-A. And be sure to join us again each day, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you is our prayer.
The heart.